Welcome councillors and obviously staff members that are present. I declare the meeting open at 5 minutes past four on the 28th of February. Can everyone hear me well?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So I declare the meeting open at 5 minutes past four on the 28th of April. Not February, sorry. 28th of April. And I declare the meeting open. Can I ask you all please to be upstanding for the council prayer? Lord, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing on this council, direct and prosper its deliberations for the advancement of this area and the true welfare of its people. Amen. Please be seated. I would also like to acknowledge the Wangal people who are the custodians of this land, and I would like to pay my respect to their elders past and present. I must note that this meeting is recorded via Zoom, and it's going to be podcast. So it will be podcast as part of the minutes on our website. And the meetings of council and council committee are also recorded for the purpose of assisting with the preparation of the meeting minutes and promoting meeting transparency. Such recordings are subject to the provisions of the Government Information Act of 2009 and are promptly made available for public review via the council website. I have one apology leave of absence to be granted to Deputy Mayor, Councillor George Manner. Do I have a mover?
Yeah,
moved by Councillor Chan, seconded by Councillor. I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Those against, I declare that carried. Is there any declaration? Declare that carried. Any declarations of political donations?
No.
I don't think there's any planning decision. So there's no recording of councillors voting on planning decisions. I've got the minutes for the last meeting held 24th of March 2020. Do I just have a raise of hand for a mover and a seconder? So it's been moved by Councillor Furneaux Cook, seconded by Councillor Dixit. Put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? Aye. I declare that carried. Any written submissions for the... so there's no written submissions, I assume, Tommaso, from the gallery for the public agenda forum? No? There's no mayoral minutes. So the first item is item 2120, which is the COVID-19 coronavirus progress update. Do we have any questions?
I do.
Any questions from Councillor Furneaux Cook?
I've sent these questions on.
Councillor Furneaux Cook?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
My questions are, what shovel-ready projects do we have in response to the federal government's announcement? That's question one. I've sent these on to staff, Mr. Mayor. Two, what correspondence will we have with community organisation who usually seeks grants from council? You know, we're not going to give it this year. And three, how will the new easing of construction hours and activities be monitored? Just two more. Four, what are the possible implications of the recently announced New South Wales support to local councils? And the last one is, what impacts has the crisis had on our staffing numbers?
Hey, Tommaso?
Yes, I'm going to attempt to respond. Can everyone hear me?
Yes. Yep.
So we have applied for grants in the amount of $900,000, specifically in relation to roads to recovery as part of the infrastructure grants of the federal government and then a couple of weeks ago. That seems to be, in our opinion, the ones that probably easiest to get at this stage, and we'll be ready to go with those pretty much immediately. We are still waiting on a response from the state government in relation to the grant, the sports grant connected to the netball courts at Grand Park. We have received the black spot grants already. That kind of was accelerated, which is good news. And we're going to obviously start those as soon as we can. We have already received the $300,000 on the obstacle, or if you like, the challenger course at Grand Park. We have sent signals, if you like, to the Department of Planning in relation to possible grants for support in the acceleration of the e-planning and projects. And we are currently allocated one officer basically to do the job of scanning the horizon on all levels of government to see whether there are any grants available to us, and so that we can apply in the quickest way possible. So I think wherever possible, we have lodged applications. And we will continue to do so. Let me have a look at the next question, was the correspondence. So subject to the decision of council tonight of discontinuing the council community grants program for this year, we will obviously communicate to all the applicants that have lodged an application with us. The idea is, whilst we're stopping this round only because we see the difficulties in them implementing their programs, is still facilitating a discussion, a conversation with them, so that if they come up in the next couple of months with ideas that might attract a different form of funding from council or facilitation from council, support from council, we'll most definitely do that. But I suppose as of tomorrow, subject to the decision of council tonight, we will correspond with them. The third question was in relation to the construction hours and activities. I have to say we have received a few questions, because obviously a few of the building sites in particular in the town centre have obviously taken advantage of the expansion of the hours. And so a few residents that were not aware of the direction and the directive from the state government called council. We have now, a couple of weeks ago, we created a script for our customer service officers so they can actually provide that information straight away before it escalates in the form of a complaint. Regardless, if it appears that the works are outside of the consent hours, our compliance team still have a look at the consent provisions and enforce if necessary. In particular, noise levels still apply, and so we still welcome any sort of feedback from the community. If they see that, if they think a building site is working outside of hours, in particular at night making noise, we will action that for sure. And the final question, sorry, I'm looking at the list here.
Just the staffing numbers.
There was the implications on the recently announced support to local councils.
Yeah.
We're still assessing that. In particular, we're assessing whether we have a need to access potentially low interest loans.
Yeah.
Having said that, we are relatively lucky, or luckier than most councils who are screaming for support. We've obviously built a very strong budget. We have reserves that we can fall back onto, and we can adjust and kind of take a level of impact a lot better than other councils in the state. So we're very careful in assessing the needs to sort of whether we should jump at certain facilities or loan facilities straight away or not. We are looking at obviously the other provisions in relation to the support to staff and the JobKeeper. That obviously applies to only employees, full-time or part-time employees, but not casuals of council. So obviously that's a completely different stream for us. What we most definitely, I can tell you tonight, whilst I haven't included in the report, most definitely is something I will be recommending at the May meeting, is that we take up the offer to delay the preparation of our budget.
Definitely.
By 1 month, that will allow us a little bit of an extra buffer to assess the situation, to see whether in May things will start improving or not. And also, we will probably make the recommendation to issue the rates also 1 month later, as allowed by the state government. So this week, we are going to perform that assessment on the latest announcements by the Office of Local Government on the $395 million. And finally, I think, Councillor, you had a question about staffing numbers. At this stage, we are still looking at a number of redeployment options for our casuals. The update is very similar to the one I gave you last time. The only difference is that since last time we've implemented the idea. So we have redeployed a lot of our casuals from our pool, because that was the main area that was obviously going to be impacted due to the closure. And we still have a few that are floating, and we're looking at some meaningful employment for them as well. Even if in the form of, for example, we have one of our casuals from the pool manning the gates at our depot, checking people in and out, and that gives them the few hours of shift that they had before. It doesn't hit our bottom line, but obviously supports potentially a uni student that's pretty strapped for cash at the moment. So we're trying to do our best in that sense.
I'm just going to go to Heather, because Heather's got a next question. Just before you do, Heather, just Fab, the screen on the left with them. Full screen. Is there any way we made it last time and we're testing making that a full screen? I think Tanya. And just one other thing, while they're trying to do that, and before I head to the council, can everyone put themselves on mute and only unmute yourself when you're speaking? Because this is actually a recorded podcast that will be on our website. It's a recorded meeting that will be on our website. We don't want to have any background noise. So the next speaker I had was Councillor Crichton, then I'll go to Councillor Del Duca.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. I'm just wondering if we've had any feedback from Father James or equivalent about how our homeless and our vulnerable community are doing during the period. And then my next question would be in relation to the sporting facilities. I'm thinking about Burwood and clubs. And whether I notice here that we're giving them a 50% reduction in the fees that they would normally incur. And whether the lights are actually going on at Henley Park of an evening for people to exercise. I know that some councils are doing that, but I realise that that's a considerable cost and we're not getting much money in also. So if someone could just answer that, that would be great. Thank you.
We've lost you, Tomasa. Unmute yourself.
That would be good. Sorry, Councillor, I didn't quite catch the full second question, but I'll attempt to answer the first one. So we've been under the Burwood Cares program. We've been in very close contact with Father James at St. Paul's. Before that, obviously, we made contact with the Department of Community and Justice, Justice and Communities, I can't remember. Who have undertaken what they called assertive outreach visits in Burwood in the last couple of weeks. That means that basically they keep driving around until they they find the people that we've identified over the last few months as being the rough sleepers. On our records, we had 4 to 5 people in Burwood. The department were not able to locate them on both visits. So their feedback was that it is likely that they have either accessed the link to home already, I think it's called link to home, and therefore they've already found accommodation, or they also likely have moved to another location that has more services, such as Ashfield with the Exodus and others. But they were pretty confident that a lot of people have already accessed the accommodation that they provide for at least, I think, 30 days. Having said that, the agreement we have with them is that if any of our staff identify someone on our streets and in our parks, we would notify them straight away. All our ground workers from the depot to compliance to our parks staff have been trained and have got obviously a checklist of things they need to do if they come across anyone in our parks and on our streets, so we should be covered. In relation to St. Paul's specifically, obviously we've got a very good relationship with Father James. We continue to work with him and his people in relation to the relief packs that we've put together. So it has become a little bit of a channel for directing these support materials that we've got to the people who need it. We've also actively lobbied a number of businesses in the area, and we were able to get some funding in the form of vouchers from Coles and Burwood Plaza recently. And they're going to be directed straight to St. Paul's. We specifically also asked that the vouchers are for specific businesses with Coles, of course, and then with specific businesses within the plaza to avoid also the purchase of alcohol. We are sure that the vouchers will go in to the people who need them, of course.
Okay, can I just remind Councillor Crine to just be on and just put yourself on mute, and Councillor Dixit as well. I notice you're not on mute, so just stay on mute. Now, Councillor Del Duca, you had a question?
Sorry, Mr. Mayor. The second question from Councillor Crichton, was it in relation to the tennis courts?
No, you're back on mute. No, she's on mute. We might just go to Councillor Del Duca and then we can come back to that. Mm-hmm. Councillor Del Duca?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Question for the General Manager. Just wanted to talk a bit about small business and what we're doing for support there. I can see a rent relief package. So some more information on that. And for example, I see that we have 100% rent relief package offered to cafes. Just to confirm, is that for all sort of shopfront retail as well on that, and where it says commercial tenants under review, just some understanding of what your thoughts are there, and I just wanted to see what other thoughts we have, if any, in relation to helping to support our small business community in the area, and then to that point where we were saying with care vouchers being made to specific entities, take your point around alcohol, but if there's some thought about helping to get people supporting local businesses through these, as opposed to solely looking at mass merchant chains.
Tommaso?
Yeah, thank you, Councillor. So through you, Mr. Mayor. So the rent relief you're referring to, Councillor, is obviously only limited to the businesses where council is the landlord, as we listed on our council report last month. In the middle minute last month. So we have a few cafes that were obviously supported with 100% relief. And then the childcare centers and the tennis courts received a 50% rebate, if you like, on the rental. And then we were progressively looking at any other requests or the other categories that we've got where council is a landlord. I believe recently, I think we might have received as of this week probably another request from one of the shops who rent from us here on Nelson Street, and we're reviewing that under the sort of the same criteria. In relation to obviously the other businesses, they've got that are on our shopping strips. A number of measures have been implemented as per the Mayoral Minute and the report at the last council meeting, including waiving the outdoor dining and a number of other fees like the health inspections. Recently we also supported a few with facilitating the use of A-frames without a fee to allow them to advertise the fact that, for example, they are doing takeaway and delivery. So for those businesses, they've adapted to the recent crisis. We're obviously facilitating that kind of conversation. We have created, under the Burwood Cares program, we have created the two streams. One is the community and the other one is the businesses. So our job, we believe, is obviously to facilitate access to information and the stimulus package or any other support package for businesses. We obviously are a bit limited in providing direct support to the businesses, but we obviously want to make sure that the information, sometimes pretty technical information that comes from the federal government and the stimulus packages, gets translated in inverted commas onto our website in simple English, and wherever possible also translate the information in Chinese. We have our multicultural engagement officers that continue to also advertise our programs and information in Chinese on all the media, Chinese media. We have created on our website a notice board as well. There's a whole section for businesses, and I would encourage you to have a look through it and browse through it. Then we created a notice board for any of the local businesses to advertise what they're doing in response to the crisis. So, for example, if they are doing takeaway, we would like to hear about it. If they're doing delivery, we would like to hear about it. But that's just the food businesses, but there's also many other ones. And the other thing we're trying to do now is encouraging the residents to purchase from and support the local businesses. So you will see that on social media, we're doing a lot of little stories on food or other businesses in Burwood that are still active and open right now during the crisis. And so we hope to encourage people to go and spend money there. I hope that answers the question.
Okay, and is there any other questions from councillors? Great, show of hands, please. No further questions. Okay, do I have a mover? So it's been moved by Councillor Furneaux-Cook, seconded by Councillor Del Duca. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? That carries.
Aye.
And that was unanimous. So the next item is item 22/20, which is the progress report for the fit out of council's administration, library and community hub. Do I have any questions? Any questions? Councillor Furneaux-Cook, just unmute and then ask your question, please. You're on mute, Councillor Furneaux-Cook.
Sorry, I was muted. Regarding the land bridge and the delay regarding Anson, do we have any cost? Why was that delayed, and is there any cost for us apart from
Tommaso?
I might ask Fab if you want to jump in on this one, or
yes, thank you. Through you, Mr. Mayor. The delay that was caused by the Anson development was purely something on their end. There weren't any provisions within that contract for us to recoup any costs or anything like that. So it was only a minor delay. And they did cooperate with council throughout to facilitate the fit out. So in the scheme of things, it was not a huge concern for us.
Okay, do I have any other questions?
Yes.
Councillor.
It is, with all the staff being absent from the workplace at the moment, that flow on to the actual relocation from Melody Street up to the new building, and is that all delayed now?
I'm getting feedback from your computer. Did you hear that, Tommaso, or?
Yeah, kind of. I read the lips.
Thank you.
Look, the in the report, obviously, we wanted to formally flag the fact that the current situation will obviously put off the opening. There's no way I would open the library and I have the first week of May. we have those delays. We've had some delays in the delivery of some of the material. We are experiencing a slight delay in some of the IT equipment that was is due to come from Malaysia, as I understand. So there's probably a couple of weeks delays there. So I'm a bit reluctant to give you a date. I would like to say that for at least the month of May, I would definitely not see us opening the doors. We would be guided, obviously, in any decision by directions from the health department and the federal government, as we did when we closed our facilities. If you wanted me to use my crystal ball, I would say that we'll probably continue to do an assessment, no doubt. We would, in stages, start to gear up for an opening. So I would say that in the next few weeks, we're going to have our librarians safely go in and prepare the space. We would have our IT team go in and set up a lot of the technology in the multimedia rooms and the technology in the computer labs and so forth. But I would say that I probably could give you a better update at the May meeting. But I would say for another month, probably safely, that place will stay as it is.
Okay. Any further questions? Okay. There being no further questions, do I have a mover? It's been moved by Councillor Chan, seconded by Councillor Crichton. Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? I declare that carried unanimously. Next item is 23/20, which is the Hornsey Street East Burwood proposed road closure application. Any questions? Tommaso, can I just get either yourself or Kimberly to just give us a bit of a rundown on what's being, so it's while it's classified as a road closure, it's not actually closing the road. But what are we proposing as for landscaping or dressing up that section of walkway, which is now going to be a public space? And what's the cost of that?
I might ask Kimberly to jump on this one.
Okay, through you, Mr. Mayor. Back to you, Mr. Mayor. The closure of Hornsey Street is actually a part of the existing Hornsey Street. And it has, if you'll remember, before the Anson development was there, there was a car park. And so this was the connecting piece from Hornsey Street to that car park. So it has remained a proper classified road. So we need to, one, apply to close the road, and two, then enter into the lease with Anson to enable them, one, to activate outdoor dining for their retail spaces, and two, for us to be able to finish the work on Hornsey Lane to get it to a laneway as we've envisioned for some time. We, because the road closure will take, we don't know how long, 6 months, 12 months to do, we are also asking, as you can see here, for the ability of the general manager to enter into a short-term lease of 5 years, which is available under the Act, so that we can go ahead and get Hornsey Lane in a laneway condition. The design of Hornsey Lane was originally per the Anson Development DA and VPA. However, as we've started work on the road, have found that the services under Hornsey, what we're calling Hornsey Lane, were not what was originally envisioned, and that original landscape plan is not 100% suitable for that area. So we are working with a landscape architect now to come up with what's essentially a new design that works with the services, the current direction of council to have some public art there, the making sure that it results in a laneway feeling and theme that we've envisioned for so long. The cost of that, I do not know yet, because we are essentially having to start over with the design.
Mr. Mayor, just to confirm the intent, there is to create a wonderful sort of space for our community to utilize safely, sort of an extension of the library on the back, as well as a connection to the what we expect to be food and cafe businesses that Anson will put down on the ground floor. So integrating the laneway as part of the library, we're looking at obviously lots of seating, trees, vegetation, and public art, as Kimberly mentioned. The laneway is going to only be used by service vehicles and emergency vehicles if needed, so it will be a nice, safe pedestrian walkway that will then ultimately connect all the way through like a spine behind the Hallmark development onto Emerald Square, so it will create this wonderful connection for our town centre.
I might also add to that, if I may, Mr. Mayor. Tommaso brings up a good point that we are, as you know, working with Holdmark on their DA now that we've got the planning proposal up on exhibition. So the outcome of that development and the impacts it has on half of Hornsey Lane is very important. And so we want to make sure that that outcome matches our vision for Hornsey Lane. So we're having to work with them too before we can settle on the design.
Mr. Mayor, you're muted, but I'll take advantage of that. To add one thing, in that just a reminder that Kimberly mentions, when Hallmark starts and they're going to start digging up the car park at the front of our library, we are going to effectively use the back door as our front door for quite a long time. So we want to make sure that becomes a nice, a lovely entrance to our brand new facilities.
My next question, what leads me to that question is, so the retail space that's there, what control do we have, one, on designs of shop fronts, the type of spaces that go into that place? Because, for example, I'm not saying these are bad places, but what if you get, you know, four massage places or a physio and it takes away that ambient sort of feel as a sort of restaurant strip? So my vision would be trying to have something similar to like the Spice Alley.
Yes.
We need to know what's happening there. And if that's the case, do we then add some, what type of lighting do we add in there? Like, say, do we put some of that lantern lighting? Do we do something else? I'm not sure. They're the things we've got to think about, one. And two, are we going to then, obviously, the way you walk through that now, what powers do we have to enforce that Holdmark's development in the future when they put a DA in has a similar retail strip fronting that lane?
Because
you don't have another blank wall there, that which is what currently exists.
Yes, through you, Mr. Mayor. This is why this particular item on the council agenda is important, because you'll notice this short-term lease of lot 10. That is the area that's required for them to enable the outdoor dining. So if we don't have this, give this space back to them so they can apply for their outdoor dining licenses, then they will end up being massage, units and things, because they won't have the capacity to do the outdoor dining, which is very important to them. And of course, we'll work, as you know, we've got the Burwood Place Delivery Working Group established, and so we meet with Holdmark every 2 weeks, and we will do our best to try to ensure that their design on the backside of their development is complementary to what we need.
Okay. And my other question is, so is there a way we can have a sort of a site-specific DCP for the shop fronts, or a type of retail that we would require there? Or
the retail is the use of those retail spaces is per what's allowable use in the town center. We don't have a DCP currently, and therefore if a DA comes in for those individual areas or rooms, then they will have to be approved under the existing LEP and DCP.
So how do they do it in Barangaroo, where they know the type of specific businesses and shops that they want in a certain precinct?
Because Barangaroo is a completely master planned, and as if you'll remember, Jess told us the day we were there, cultivated and curated outcome. So that was many years of planning with the master plan, which is what we're trying to do now. And we'll be bringing that back to you as we get closer to the work on the LEP. But okay, that was 5 years of master planning.
Okay, so is there any way we could sort of be meeting and discussing with Anson Council's intent for what we would like to see there and provide some type of a guide?
So that sure. We have met with them. At this point, we don't have any stick, if you will, that we can use.
No, I know that, but I'm sure that, I mean, especially in the current environment, you might get a rush to just get any tenant there.
Yeah, I know. I actually spoke to Tom Hugh in the laneway not 10 days ago about that particular issue.
Okay. And my, I guess, last question is, and I was going to add a possible addition to the recommendation, is possibly running some type of competition to rename Hornsey Lane. Because now, if you want to activate it as a strip, you know, should we be calling it Library Square, Library Lane, or, you know, Wongle Lane, or should we run some type of competition? So I'm going to add, as part of the recommendation, if there's a mover and seconder, that council staff or general manager investigate opportunities to have a naming competition for Hornsley, a renaming competition for Hornsey Lane.
Yep. Great idea.
Councillor Ferrer-Cook, you had a question?
I'm happy to support, as long as ACDC Lane is considered.
But wouldn't you want to see that, through you, Mr. Mayor, wouldn't you want to see that over near Burley Street?
Yeah, possibly.
Well, yeah, and there too. We can call that one the Easy Beats Lane.
Well, I'm sure we'll be happy to consider your submission.
Thank you.
Eva, so there's an addition, part 6 on the recommendation, that the general manager investigate a renaming competition for Hornsey Lane. I'll keep it renaming. Okay. Do I have a mover? It's been moved by Councillor Del Duca, seconded by Councillor Ferno-Cook. Do I have any speakers? I note that Councillor Crichton's fallen off.
Seems to have dropped off. Jessie, can you see her come back?
Okay, so Jessie will see her. We'll just might move on while we're doing that. So it's been moved by Councillor Del Duca, seconded by Councillor Ferno-Cook. Cook, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. The next item is item 24/20, which is the investment report. Do I have any questions regarding the investment report? Tommaso, did you want to give us just a quick brief on where the finances are at, especially with in regards to the whole COVID-19 epidemic that we're dealing with?
Sure. look, in a nutshell, we're monitoring the situation without being too alarmed at this stage. I have to say that compared to many colleagues in the industry, we are doing quite well. So I don't want to sort of plant any panic seeds in your head. We are closely monitoring the budget and identifying savings wherever we can. However, there's obviously a fairly large impact due to missing loss of income that comes from our swimming pool, the Learn to Swim, and then our town centre being pretty much shut down, and so our parking meters, they're obviously one of the main sources of revenue, as well as the related infringements are causing a bit of a hit to our bottom line. The relief measures that we are implementing, especially on our commercial tenants, have obviously are going to have an impact. As with everything, we work on projections. So if everything improves by the end of this financial year, then I would quite confidently say to you that Burwood Council is going to be just fine. If this crisis and the restrictions and the lockdown continued for another 3 months after that, for another quarter up to September, then we will start to see some proper cracks. Our preference, whilst over the years we've obviously built some reserves, our preference were obviously not to use those reserves to unnecessarily and to save that money for important projects. And so at this stage we're not looking at that. Wherever possible, we're going to seek grants. Wherever possible, we've reviewed our budgets and identified savings or redirected funds. For example, all the Burwood Cares programs that you are seeing out in the LGA right now are funded through existing budgets that we had there for aged and disability, youth and community development programs that we had already scheduled and budgeted before. And obviously behind the scenes we have slowed down a few things, but we made a conscious decision to continue with our capital works because we think that is important for the economy and is important to keep all our staff, especially our outdoor crews, gainfully employed and with meaningful work to do. And you might have seen in my report, the only project that we currently have on hold, however, it's still under review, is the Learn to Swim pool. Only because of the price tag being a little bit higher than the rest and some risks in relation to international monetary as well as material policies that might have an impact on our budget. But we are writing to state governments. We are constantly, through the mayor, lobbying the federal member to make sure that more money comes our way. And obviously any help would be very welcome.
Okay, thanks, Tommaso. Just to note to councillors as well that we've been having regular teleconference meetings with the federal member every Friday, so all the mayors that are in Reed, and she's been quite helpful in passing on information as well as taking up issues that mayors and general managers are raising for day-to-day activities or slash business operations. So we've had about three now, and they're going quite well, and that's a credit to the federal member for helping facilitate that. Is there any other questions regarding the investment report? Do I have a mover? So it's been moved by Councillor Crichton, seconded by Councillor Chan. I'll put the motion, all those in favour. Those against, I declare that carried unanimously. Now the information items, so there's, I'll just go through those just for the record. So there's item 14/20, amendment to Council's Community Participation Plan in accordance with legislative changes due to COVID-19, which is on page 46. There's information item 15/20, which is the additional waste bin near bus stops within the town centre, which is proposed to install another 10 waste bins next to bus stops in the town centre. So that's on page 48. Item N/16/20, which is the mayoral discretionary grant, small donations made for the period of ending 31st of March 2020, which is on page 50. Can I just note with that for the business papers, the actual page which lists the grants is quite small. You can't see it. Like, you'd need a magnifying glass. It's that small. So if we can in future just get a bigger printout of that just to see that. Information item 17/20, which is petitions, received on page 52. And information item 18/20, which is answers to questions without notice for the council meeting of the 24th of March 2020, which is on page 53. Now there's questions without notice. Do I have any questions without notice? Councillor Furnacook.
Yeah, hi. I've just got three. I have sent them through prior. The first one is, could staff outline the potential impacts of the New South Wales Planning Acceleration Program recently announced by Minister Stokes, especially on the LEP and the meeting of our two planning panels, the regional one and the local one? Two, a few residents have expressed concern regarding the use of their emails for Berwick Cares communication without their knowledge. How were the emails sourced, and will they be guaranteed only to receive information regarding council's response to the COVID during the duration of the emergency? And three, as the usual council matters leaflet is not currently in production, when will all councillors' contact details be included in the current e-communication? That's all.
Thank you. That's on notice. Councillor Del Duca. Councillor Del Duca, just unmute your, just put your mic.
Okay, got there. Thank you. I just wanted to break down, we've mentioned the relief we're doing for businesses in, council premises. Can we get a breakdown of how many small businesses in the area and how many of those are in, council premises? And look, and that doesn't, Tomas, it doesn't need to be exact to the letter, but, a broad understanding of so a breakdown of how many small businesses in the area and how many of those are receiving assistance due to being in council properties. And then also a second question, how many businesses are receiving benefit from having their outdoor licensing fees waived?
So that's taken on notice. Any other questions? No further questions. I will declare the meeting closed at 4:55 p.m. And I thank you all for your attendance, and I hope you keep safe. And we'll talk again soon.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good to see you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Travel safely, Ernest.
Take care. Thank you.
I try. I'm flying back.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Tomasa.
See you, guys.